Good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is PRN.FM, the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis, your host, and I greet you this morning. I hope all is well with you. It's a bit chilly outside, but beautiful all the same. So I hope you had a chance, or will have a chance, to be out in the air, maybe do a little bit of walking, breathing, deep breathing as you walk. What's nice about the winter months is that the air tends to be much fresher than the summer. Even though colder, it seems quite crisp and fresh from my perspective. So it's always good to be outside. Don't hold up inside with the artificial heat. And I've discovered that a lot of times it's either artificial heat or artificial air through air conditioning is what tends to make us a little bit more vulnerable to being ill, because we're in this unnatural temperature, and then we go out into the world that is at a very different temperature. So I have a tendency to keep my windows open a little bit in the winter to keep the fresh air in. And then when I go outside, it doesn't feel so much like a chill, and I'm able to have a more balanced inner and outer experience, such as it is with the world. So I suggest you do that. Coming up on today's program, I'm going to be presenting for you a lecture. It's a lecture that occurred some time ago, but there have been times when I've been very much impacted or have appreciated the work of people in the world who are doing much what I do, are giving their message, conveying their insights, and doing it in a way that's very entertaining. And so I decided to share this particular presentation with you, and it is called Digesting Our Required Nutrition. But it's not really about food. It's about digesting a spiritual understanding and learning the difference between doing and being. And we're going to be hearing from Michael Brown. He's the author of the book, The Presence Process, A Healing Journey into Present Moment Awareness. He's done a lot of work, but that is his real opening presentation to the world and has had a great impact since that time. So I want to invite you to listen to his lecture, and we're going to play it for you in two parts. I find it to be entertaining as well as inspiring. So I want you to stay tuned for Michael Brown and his talk on digesting our required nutrition. Stay tuned.
So there's the death of the doer and the birth of being. And it's a very abstract thing unless we can really see what this looks like, because the nature of being is that the eyes of being and the eyes of doing are very different eyes. And so the eyes of the doer can't comprehend, has no point of reference for being. Not for a being, because we can get the concept of a being. I'm a being and I'm doing something. We can get that very easily. And when we're in that place, what God is for us is a being who does something. And so we go like, help us out, do something, right? Okay. So the doer has no point of reference for being as having any value whatsoever. It's very challenging to go from doing to being. Even though we're being all the time and we don't even realize it, it's very challenging to go from doing to being. It does require a bridge, a crossing over. And in this moment, what the invitation is for us to cross over. Because being is the only safe place. It's the only real safety, right? It's the only place of comfort. The doing place is going to get really freaky. And if you just look around in your own experience and look around at the experiences of those around you and look around at the planetary experience, we are all being offered that about which we can do nothing. Increasingly so. And there's a method in that. It's not happening because something's wrong. It's deliberate. And the word deliberate contains the word liberate. It's deliberate. And it's just a matter of being able to realize it. And realize means using an eyes that have had no value in this world of the doer. The only eyes that the doer is interested in using and uses is the physical eyes and the anal eyes. Right? The eyes that we use to analyze everything. Right? So those eyes have no point of reference for being. They can't even see being. Even if they approach being, they go, well, what's this doing? Right? They don't have any points of reference, right? And the example of that is the Buddhist disciple who's really wanting to be like Buddha, who goes and looks at the Buddha statue and says, oh, I got it, he's sitting in a lotus position. So there we go. I'll do that. Well, that's not working. Oh, he's shaved his head. Well, let me do that. Well, that's not working either. Oh, he's holding those magical beads. Right, let me hold the beads. No. It's the orange robe. It's the orange robe, right? That feels good, right? Let's do that for now. It's not working either. Oh, I got it. I got it. That half smile on his face. I figured it out. Okay. Right. Because to a doer, Buddha is a being who does things. And I want to figure out what he's doing so that I can be a Buddha too. You just tell me what to do, I'll do it. It's the same with our approach to Jesus, right? Wow, what did he do? You know all the things that he did? He did amazing things. Wow. And so if we approach someone like Jesus as a doer, then we're interested in the teachings about Jesus. But when we approach Jesus through being, we're going to connect with the teachings of Jesus. It's very different. The two have nothing to do with each other. Right? It's important to look at the state of doing and what's driving it, because there is a bridge. There's a point of transition, and the point of transition is necessary because when someone gives you the keys to the kingdom, right? If you have the keys to the kingdom, it means you have the faith to move mountains. But it also means you know the mountains are in the right place. So you don't go and mess with everything. The doer can't get in. Because the doer's going to go in and do something. So getting the keys to the kingdom is a bridge that we cross. And the bridge is called responsibility. Moving out of victim-victor into vehicle. And then approaching what I call the legend. Because there's our good story and our bad story. We have our bad story, my hard childhood and how rough life is, and I don't understand why I've got to earn a living even though I'm alive, and all of that stuff, right? And then we have the good story, and the good story is when I process my emotional stuff and I see what a gift that is, and I'm very grateful for my childhood, and I feel great gratitude when I look at my parents. That's the good story. So we have a good story and a bad story. But we also have another story, because everything is in trinities. And the third story is the legend. The legend. What is my legend? And for me, legend means the bad story is I'm on this ledge and I'm cowering. And I'm going, I shouldn't be on this ledge. It's really scary. I'm going to fall. I know I'm going to fall. Right. And then the good story is when I'm on the ledge and I get to stand up and gain balance and go, wow, this ledge has taught me how to balance myself here without fear. But then I want to go to the edge of the ledge, the end of the ledge, and leap. The ledge end, right? So what we're being invited into is the ledge end. And the ledge end is really scary to a doer. It's a very scary place. Because it's about giving up thinking I know what I need and want. And opening myself up to receiving what I require. In the realization that we were already told by one of the greatest teachers ever walked this planet, the kingdom is now at hand. The kingdom is now at hand. You don't have to make the kingdom. We made it. But to get in, you have to become as a child. So we're going like, well, now that's it. Now how do I do that? Right? How do I do that? So crossing over. So let's look first at doing. What doing is about. Because there's all sorts of momentum here. And there's ongoing momentum in the kingdom. The kingdom is full of momentum. It's not just people being still in one. Right? It's momentum. There's momentum. Life is a momentum. But there's two types of momentum. There's two types of momentum. There's a momentum in which something is being manipulated, and there's a momentum that is an expression of being alive and conscious. And the two sometimes can look similar, but the outcomes are very different. So the momentum of manipulation, I love the word too, manipulation, because I love words, you'll notice. You know, it's like the metaphor of a little boy gets born. What's the first thing that happens? He gets a nipple stuck in his face, right? And that's where the life force is coming from. Then one day, it gets taken away, covered up, and hidden for the rest of all time. And then that behavior, you know, if that being believes that that is where the life force comes from, then that being will go around and man, nipple, nation, everything. Manipulation, right? And what that is me enforcing myself upon my emotional body. A, to stop feeling what it is feeling, and B, to force it to feel what I think I should be feeling. I'm manipulating the emotional body within myself. And what it'll be in my mental body will keep doing things, telling stories, and the intent of the story is to figure out what to do so that I feel better, so that I get what I need and want. You know, when a cell in the body behaves like that, we call it cancer, right? When we behave in the world like that, we call it success. Right? And it creates an experience that manifests as man manipulating woman to accomplish something. And that's the reality we've come through. Look at everything where you'll see man, and we're even told by some that you can't speak directly to God if you're a woman. It's just not possible. You have to come to me. I'm a man. And I will do that on your behalf, right? To that extent of bizarre madness. And that's all coming out of manipulation. And we're all doing that to ourselves, whether we're man or woman. We're manipulating our emotional body. Even our spiritual paths have been about that. Whether we're aware of it or not, many of us enter spirituality as a reaction to our lives, not a response to God. And it's natural because we're hurting. We're uncomfortable. We don't even know how uncomfortable we are. And so we're seeking relief. So we're not going towards the vibrational out of love. We're going like, help me out here. This world sucks. right? And someone says, oh, I've got this procedure that can help you go into the ninth dimension. Yeah, I'll do that. Just get me out of this place, right? I've got a procedure that will enable you to get into nirvana. Yeah, give me that one too, right? I have this set of procedures that you do your whole life. You apologize for yourself all along the way. You give me your money, and at the end of it, I will guarantee you get into the kingdom. I'll even take that. Right? The consequence of the manipulation consciousness is that our experience is invalid. Our experience is invalid. But one of the greatest teachers that ever walked this earth said, I won't use his language because it's been misinterpreted, but I'll just update the vocabulary. My experience is the light. My experience is the way. I cannot enter vibrational awareness unless I accept my experience as the truth. The moment I do not accept my experience as the truth, I have gone off the straight and narrow. My experience, as it is unfolding, is the straight and narrow. But can I receive it? Or do I think something else should be going on? Right. And that every one of us is given the exact experience we require to gain the responsibility to enter the kingdom in such a conscious way that we know how we accomplish that and we don't fall back out of the kingdom. So the first step is to realize, and when I say realize, to see with the eyes of the heart, to realize the value of the experience we're having right now and how it's unfolding. Because this, the experience we're having right now, is crucial that we validate it and that we really get with it. Because if we still think someone else's experience is going to show us what's going on, we're going off away from the very truth, the very nutrition required to enliven our being, the food. So we have physical food, which is great for this physical vehicle. It's so important to take care of the physical vehicle. And we have mental food that's very important for the mental body. And we have emotional food that enables us to grow the emotional component of our being so that it has the capacity to feel, to open and not be shut. And we also have vibrational food. And if we cannot identify the food, if we cannot identify where we are at the moment, our cause for manipulation is that the only food that interests us or that we can perceive is the mental food and the physical food. And so the emotional part and the vibrational part, we're not getting that sustenance. And because we're not, we go into a state of desperation and try and get it from the physical mental. And we can't. We're just going to go mental, right? And what's ended for us, whether we yet realize it or not, is what we call the metaphysical world. The metaphysical world is the mental interpretation of the vibrational. And it's been very useful to us. We've had to develop our mental capacity so that we can even sit here and have this level of communication with each other. But those days are over. Unless we enter directly into the emotional, which many of us have already and have been for a while, that boat left a while ago. If we're sitting here, we already caught that boat. But then there's another boat which is leaving, and that's the vibrational. And it's very important we get on that boat too, because that's the juicy stuff, right? That food enlivens our being. Our being does not get enlivened by vitamins and minerals. It gets enlivened by the rays of a different sun. This sun in our world, in our outer world, is very useful for this physical body. It will provide everything we require for the physical body. And when the physical body is healthy, we can provide everything we require for the mental stimulation, right? And we have the experiences here for the emotional growth. But none of that, if we just stay there, we will remain in the domain of the doer. The doer lives in a different dim. You know, there's the kingdom and there's the boredom. And so to get the sustenance, the food to enliven our vibrational. That's the food that when we digest it, enlivens our state of being. And that food doesn't come from this sun, this outer sun. This sun shines on the doer for the most part. And everything this sun shines on has a beginning and an ending. There is another sun. This one has beams, and the one, the inner one, has beings. It shines as being. And those rays are the rays we have to start consciously shining and understanding how to use those rays consciously to digest the vibrational food. And once we receive that awareness, then we're totally tapped in to the source. And that's the shift that's being invited here. We're living in an experience in which we're taking our cue from our politicians, from our priests, from our profiteers, from our parents, from our peers, anything with a P. We're just taking, right? And the thing is, they behave in the way they do because they're as uncomfortable as we are. And so when we take our cues from them, our behavior, you know, can be pretty strange. And because that behavior gets pretty weird and wacky, we need laws and organizations and groups and someone in charge, and right? And we live in that world. But that world is dying. There's another world. Hold this vision. A world in which each of us are directly connected to the same source and take our instruction from that. Which means we continue to express ourselves as individuals and have lots of fun, but we don't bump into each other the way we've been doing so, because we're both listening to the instructions from the same place. And it knows how to play the music. That's a different world. Where there is love, there is no law. Right? Where the vibrational is the causal point, there is no need to tell me what to do or how to do it, because it's coming from within. And if I listen to that, I'm not going to offend you or bump into you or take away from anything that you're experiencing, because you're having the same connection. Right? You'll very seldom see bees flying into each other. Excuse me, boom, oh, sorry about that. They just be. You'll notice, I don't know if any of you have noticed, but the bees that we've turned into doers, the farm bees, are all dying. All the bees that we have employed as laborers on the farms, who have now do something, we put them in trucks and we take them to another farm and put them up. Now you're going to do this work, right? Those bees are all dying. They are. All over the world. And the scientists are going, maybe it's mold. Maybe they're just overworked. Maybe it's pesticides, right? Meanwhile, the bees that are just being in the wild, grooving along, they're fine. Because they're not doing anything. They're just being bees, right? And nature's going, are you listening? Are you paying attention? Right? So we get driven into doing, and it's such an addiction, because we don't realize why it's unfolding. And the moment we start to realize what's unfolding, and we can reframe it for ourselves, then we can begin to undo. You see, the bridge from doing to being is a process of undoing. We're doing, then we undo, and then we're undone. Right? The shamans call it not doing. You're doing something, but you're not doing anything, right? Not doing is almost deliberately enforced being. Because I don't know how to be. I have no value for being. I have no way to perceive the consequences of being. So I'm going to have to force myself to be and see what happens. Until I can realize what it means to be and what the consequences are, then I'll naturally gravitate to being that way. It's interesting, you know, we got told the stories about, you know, how I think it was the Israelites. My Bible stuff is really bad, so forgive me for any misinterpretations of. But the Israelites were kind of lost in the wilderness, right? And they were kind of wandering around. Like, hey, I think it was Moses, right? Moses was leading them, like, Moses, where are we going? I don't know. I don't know what to do, right? So they're wandering around and they're lost, right? And suddenly, manna falls from heaven, right? And they eat and digest this manna. And suddenly they walk out of the wilderness, right? So it's interesting, the word manna, the manner of our being, right? Or the manner, there's different types of manner. There's the manner of the world, which is doing, and there's the manner of heaven, which is being. And when we are able to digest the manner of heaven, the manner of the vibrational, it will lead us out of the wilderness. And when we are in a state of doing, because doing, we'll notice from our doings, right? We do something because we think it's going to make a difference. And we do, and we feel better for a while. We don't get any better at feeling, but we feel better. And then we get back to a point where we might as well not have done anything. I'm back in the same place again. I try to change that and fix it, and I did all the affirmations you can dream of. And I forced that person to admit that I was right. And I felt better for a while, but nothing was accomplished. I'm back in the same place today. And that's called being in the wilderness, right? I'm just wandering around in the wilderness, right? And I'm going to, right? In fact, you can think of it as moseying around in the wilderness. So let's look at doing for a moment. Let's just unwrap doing, because doing is kind of fun.
And that was the first part, and we'll be hearing the second part of this lecture in a few moments. You are listening to Michael Brown, and he's the author of The Presence Process, A Healing Journey into Present Moment Awareness. And the talk itself is called Digesting Our Required Nutrition. And he's talking about the nutrition of the soul, I believe, the nutrition of the spirit, the energy, the vibration of consciousness, and all of it leading to being present with yourself and present with your deeper understanding. And it's a very, very coherent and entertaining way of coming to this understanding. If you want to find out more about Michael Brown and his work, you can go to thepresenceportal.com, thepresenceportal.com, and you will find there more information. It's his website with his blogs, and there is some downloadable audio, some downloadable writings, and so it's a way of getting an introduction to his work on the presence process. I found it to be very valuable, and I hope that you will as well. We're going to take a brief break for our station announcements and be back in a few moments. Welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis, and I want to echo one of those announcements you heard and invite you to become a supporter and a friend of the Progressive Radio Network. It's a really important station, and with each of us together, making that contribution could be small or could be large, but whatever, if you make that contribution and support PRN, it will continue to grow and flourish. So I certainly hope those of you who are tuned in will take the time and make that donation. I am presenting to you today a lecture by Michael Brown, The Presence Process, A Healing Journey into Present Moment Awareness, is the book that he wrote. And the talk is called Digesting Our Required Nutrition, which is really about a spiritual understanding of the difference between doing and being. Let's go back to the second segment right now. We're listening to a talk called Digesting Our Required Nutrition by Michael Brown. He's the author of The Presence Process, A Healing Journey into Present Moment Awareness.
Let's say I come to work and I'm late and I'm hurrying, right? Have you noticed that the people that are late are always hurrying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you just remove hurrying, you'll stop being late. Just a suggestion. But so I get to work and I'm late, right? And I walk past my boss's office, and as I look in the door, he goes like this. Squelches his face. And in that moment, I feel really uncomfortable. I'm already late. I'm already in a state. And from that moment, something happens to me. I get what's called upset. Right? And from the moment that I become upset, what I do not realize is that I have entered a perceptual memory bank. I have now entered an altered state. And in that altered state, I'm unable to behave sanely at all. There is no sanity in anything that's going to happen. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to a hypnosis show where there's a professional hypnosis and says, I'd like two of you to come up from the audience, you and you, right, and you come up here. Okay, you are, I'm going to hypnotize you, right? Okay, so now, she is a teapot and you are really thirsty for some tea. He is a jar of cookies and you want a cookie. Go. Okay. Now, you know the chaos. It's really funny. Okay, I want some tea. Or I want some cookies. Right? But the weird thing about it is, that while those two people are in that state, you can walk up to them and say, she's not a jar of cookies. He goes, it's a jar of cookies. It's a jar of cookies. He goes, it's not a teapot. It's a teapot. It's a teapot, right? Nothing you can say in a state of hypnosis can change that. What's also strange about that state is, while we're in that state, while those two people are in that state, they have no awareness whatsoever that a few moments ago they were sitting over there and there. They have a whole life, a whole world, a whole reality. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. The only thing that exists is the cookie jar and the teapot and this desire to get a cookie and some tea. Right? Until that state of hypnosis is removed. And once it's removed, it's like, what the hell was that? Right? I kind of knew I was doing it, but it just was so real, but I knew it's kind of weird, right? So it's the same thing. As I walk past the office and I'm hurried and I'm already kind of in a state of anxiety, build up from hurrying and everything, and it's going on, and I look in the door and my boss looks at me like this, right? And I get upset. And in that split second, I actually enter an altered state. I enter a perceptual memory bank. And as I enter that memory bank, there are only two things that are going to unfold. The very first pathway, because what's happening is, what I can't see is that right at the surface of my being is an emotional state, an emotional signature. And that signature I've carried with me since I was young. It was imprinted into my emotional body through an interaction with my father, in which my father kind of was around me and said, you're never going to be enough, you're never good enough, you never finish what you started, you just never made me proud, you know, you're a failure in my, whatever that happened in that moment, and that imprinted me with fear, anger, and grief. And since then, I've been trying so hard to do everything right and to be on time and to hurry through everything. And it's this desperate state. I don't even know what's going on. But it's all being driven by a charge. I'm driven by a charge. I can't even see this charge because between the ages of 7 and 14, I entered a mental institution. And in that mental institution, I went mental and my emotional body shut down, right? And by the time I'm 14, I'm mental. My world is a story that I tell myself. It's a physical activity that happens around me. I'm transfixed by the physical world, and I tell myself a story about it, and I believe the hypnosis, and then I act out of that story. And that's how my life is. Feeling plays no part of it. Although I can get very angry, it's got nothing to do with me. If I get angry, it's got nothing to do with me. He's the one making me angry. Right? As I enter the world and move along this pathway of awareness into adulthood, I first go through the emotional childhood stuff where I'm imprinted, and then I go through the mental years of the teenage years where I go into the mental institution and get taught this weird stuff, right? And then I go into the physical world. So the pathway is going from emotional through the mental and into the physical. It's a pathway of awareness we use every day. And it's even unfolding in this moment as I have this encounter with my boss. Because what's happening is the emotional signature is the causal point. It's already there right underneath the surface, right? And I'm setting myself, I'm being set up to see it, although I don't even realize that's happening. So as I walk past the office, the signature is already there. And when I look at him, I enter. You know, people say, this world is not real. Have you heard that? This world is not real, right? It's not real. Well, if you find someone who says that and hit them over the head with a metal pole, for a while the world is very real. It's not that it's not real, it's just that it's not permanent. That's a better word, right? But actually, it is a state of illusion for most of us most of the time. Because if I look at you and I see my father, you have disappeared. I'm now looking at a teapot or a jar of cookies, right? And if I start, that's called an illusion, right? And the word illusion is beautiful. It means ill is in you. Look at the word. Ill is in you. Illusion, right? So I look at you. I see my father. That's an illusion. You have disappeared. And then if I start behaving around you the way I used to behave around my father, right? That's called a delusion. I'm in a deluded state. So I don't even know that's going on. What happens is, as I walk past the door, that emotional signature is already there. It's been there my whole life. But it's coming up to be integrated. And so it's right beneath the surface of my awareness. And when I look at you, I see a reflection of it. And immediately I go from emotional into the mental. In other words, the moment I get upset, I start telling a story. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this treatment. I work really hard for this company. Yes, I'm late, 15 minutes late every single day, but I still get my work done, right? I should be allowed to be 15 minutes late because I always work late at night. I get my work done. I've never let anyone down. I don't deserve to be treated this way. You know what? And if I stay in that story, it's a state of hypnosis, because especially if it's around anger, because anger tells the best stories in the world. They will stand up in a court of law. Okay. They're still not true. In fact, none of the stories are true. Right. If I tell the story long enough, I will go from the mental and into the physical. In other words, I will enter a behavior. It will look like this. I've had enough of being treated this way. I don't deserve this. Here's my resignation. You can stick your job. Yeah, I told him, right? And that night, I'll be like feeling better. I feel better. I feel good. One for the workers! One for the workers, right? And I'll go to the pub or the bar that night. And while I'm still the one buying the drinks, because I'm feeling strong here, I'm buying drinks for everybody, right? And I'll tell my story and everyone will go, yeah, you showed him. Yeah, you showed him. But when I stop buying the drinks, then someone will say, so what are you going to do now, right? And in that moment, the state of hypnosis will start to dismantle, and I'll start to return to my mundane state of awareness. And when I wake up in the morning, I will wake up with this feeling of dread. What the hell did I do? Who was that mad person who destroyed my job? Who handed in that? That wasn't me. Who's that person, right? And of course, I'm not going to get a reference from him for the next job, so it's going to be a bit rough for a while, right? So I can take that physical behavior to make myself feel better. And for a while, I will feel better. I won't get any better at feeling because it won't bring my awareness to what's really going on with me. And it will actually impact my physical world in such a way that it will cause not only suffering for me, but for you, and maybe for my family, everyone around me, right? Or maybe I will stay in the mental state. So I walk past the office, he goes, right? I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. No. I work really hard. Yeah, I'm late every day, but that's okay. I have that right because I work really hard. No, I need to sort this out. And then the mental step looks like this. We need to have a talk. If anyone comes to you and says, we need to have a talk, you must be aware immediately that you're dealing with someone in a delusional state. Do not try to reason with someone who is in a delusional state. Because someone who's in a delusional state, if you begin to join them there, you will enter the same delusional state. And believe that if I somehow can get you to make me right about what's going on here, then we're sorted and I feel better. Right. But it's not going to change anything, because tomorrow morning I'm going to come hurrying in and I'm going to look in the office and... Right? So the state of doing is any momentum launched in order to sedate and control the discomfort of the emotionally imprinted body and to attempt to get the feeling that I would rather be feeling in that moment. That is doing. So when we're speaking about the doer is the one trying to feel better. We can see in our lives whenever we believe we can make a causal adjustment to the quality of our experience by talking about it or by doing something physically, rearranging the circumstances. You know, what we're doing is we're messing with the effect. The cause is the emotional imprint. The effect is the reflection. What we're really doing is we're cleaning the mirror to get rid of the pimples. Or we're moving the radio around the room to try and change stations. Good luck. And our world at the moment is teetering on immense amounts of discomfort because of what we're doing. And that's why we are being presented opportunities, experiences, unfoldings about which we can do nothing. Right? I mean, what are you going to do about global warming? We're told we're going to have the biggest solar activity ever seen on our sun, peaking around 2012. What are we going to do about that? Dark glasses? Holes deep in the earth? We'll figure out doing. We're going to do something. But even in our own lives, in the microcosm of our own lives, because the microcosm and the macrocosm is the same. In our own lives, if we just stand for a moment and look at our own lives and glance around, we'll see we are all surrounded by that about which we can do nothing. And we've tried and we've tried and we've tried, but the fact is, nothing works. Our doing is impotent. Our doing is impotent. And those points are gifts. That's where the lock of the treasure chest is. Although they seem like that's the point at which I'm doomed, no, that's the point at which I awaken. So the first step is the realization that what's unfolding within us as a species at the moment is a massive amount of recapitulation. We're cleansing what has been passed from generation to generation to generation to generation. It's not personal. It's not personal. The imprint that I received when I was young from my father that caused me fear, anger, and grief, the story that I tell about even the receiving of it as a child is just my story about an emotional signature that was carried by my father, carried by his father, carried by his father for as long back as you can look. It's not personal. It's called the human race, right? The one generation runs along with a baton, right, and passes it on, and the child receives it and continues to run, right? The human race. We're part of the human race. Okay. And the beauty of being in this body now is that we can stop and go, hang on a moment. What the hell is this? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What is this grief that I carry? What is this anger? What is this fear? So the first step begins when we start to recognize what the memory is that we are integrating. Because it's not about getting rid of anything. Don't intend to get rid of anything. We want to embrace it all. Everything to its highest vibration. Integration, into greatness, integrate, right? So the first step is to realize that what's happening here when I get upset is I'm not being upset. I'm being set up. I'm being set up. I don't have the insight to see my internal, the condition of my own emotional body. I don't have the insight. I now am a physical, mental being, and as such, I only function outside, right? There's only outside. There's not insight. My insight closed down between about the ages of 7 and 14. If I was a girl, it stayed open a little bit longer, around about 14, 15. If I was a boy, it was probably shut down around 7, right? We can see that by most of our world leaders, right? Emotionally, we have 7-year-olds making a lot of important decisions. So, to realize that I cannot see the internal condition of my emotional body, the point at which this imprints have been tattooed and will sit there until I have the awareness to impact them, because I cannot see them inside, they are shown to me deliberately outside. It's the only place I can look. Right? Being cannot be comprehended by false illumination outside. This sun and the illumination it shines upon, it's very difficult to comprehend being in that light. Right? It requires insight, not outsight. The mental eyes, the anal eyes, and the physical eyes have no point of reference for being. Although when we recognize it, we do. We do recognize it. And then we figure out what we can do to accomplish it, right? Which is a catch-22. So the first step is to awaken insight. And the first step to that is to realize that whenever we get upset, and there is no exception to this, and believe me, I have looked for the exception. I've invested vast amounts of time trying to find the exception to excuse myself from certain behaviors, right? But whenever we get upset, we are remembering something. Whenever we get upset, what's happening is we are bringing something from the past into this moment. And the echo of that resonance is impacting us like a sucker punch from the universe. And we are entering an altered state, because what's happening is we immediately enter that memory bank perceptually. And over the lens of our perception gets placed that energetic condition. And if that energetic condition is something we spell fear, then I look at the world and the world is a fearful place. It doesn't matter if you tell me it's not. It is a teapot or it is a jar of cookies, right? So the very first step is the realization that what's happening here is not about you. You're simply the mirror. And no matter that the physical world tells me in every way that you are the one who is responsible for me being angry, it's not true. It's never true. The truth is, you are reflecting something that's already inside of me. The feeling, the emotional signature. And that is the memory. The physical event and the story I tell myself about it have no use to me. If I want to evolve, they only have a use to me if I want to revolve. There is a difference between revolutionary behavior and evolutionary behavior. Revolutionary behavior is when I go out to accomplish something. Evolutionary behavior is when I go in. When I go in towards the causal point, towards the source. Evolve and love are the same word. They just got the letters mixed around, right? Evolve and love. Evolutionary behavior is when I go towards what the love is, the vibration. So it doesn't matter even if I know that, because every day we are going to be triggered. Every one of us is going to be triggered. We are going to get upset along the way of this particular part of the journey. It is necessary to get set up so that we can see deeply embedded emotional signatures that are causing us discomfort, because it's that discomfort that is driving us into doing behavior. The doer is the one trying to sedate and control the discomfort. And while the discomfort is there unconsciously, the doing is as unconscious.
And we just heard from Michael Brown. Michael Brown is the author of The Presence Process. And he also authored another book, which is called Alchemy of the Heart. You can find out more about his work at his website, thepresenceportal.com, thepresenceportal.com. And you'll find there all about his work. There's a blog there. And you can also download audio or some of his writing so that you can have a deeper understanding of what he is sharing. I find it and have found it to be quite inspirational, and I wanted to share that with you. Michael Brown, thepresenceportal.com. And you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over PRN.FM, the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine, and I just wanted to offer you an opportunity to make a connection with myself, and you can do that in several ways, by email at heartofmindradio@gmail.com. That's heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And I have two websites you are welcome to visit. heartofmindradio.com, that tells you about the broadcasts and gives a sense of what this is all about, the mission of this program is about, and it has resources where you can go and download audio material. qigongonline.net is more about the spiritual work that I do, and there's a lot of inspiration and video on that website, qigongonline.net. That's .net. And I also wanted to let you know that this weekend I'll be starting classes, meditation classes, movement classes with Qigong in Brooklyn of New York. And the Riverside Church class that I have been doing for the last 19 years has shut down. And we're moving into Brooklyn to do a program. And Saturday, this coming Saturday, January 17th, at 1 p.m. will be meditation class, and we will continue following this Saturday on the first and third Saturdays of the month. And on Sunday next week, January 25th, we'll have a class again at 1 p.m. and then we'll continue on the second and fourth Sunday of the month. So you could technically come every week or every other week, depending on how your schedule works. Find out more at qigongonline.net. Qigong is spelled with a Q. Qigongonline. Qigongonline.net. And on either site, you can connect through the a monthly newsletter from myself. I want to thank you for joining me today and invite you to stay tuned for more great programming on the Progressive Radio Network.